Hello, everybody. It's Camille. Welcome to another episode of Thinking of You, Questions and Answers for Online Faculty. Today, I got a question about whether and how to use discussion boards to assess student learning. And I'm going to go on a rant because I feel very strongly about this topic. I'm going to start off this discussion of discussions by telling you that you do not have to use discussions in your online class. You do not have to use discussion boards. For some reason, it's been associated as the standard for online classes. And so almost every online class, or at least the ones that I have come across, all have these discussion boards. And they're set up in the same way where there's a prompt. And then it says, you must reply to two of your peers with meaningful or substantial responses. Okay, you don't have to have these. If you do have them in your course, you should think about why you have them. And they should be serving a very specific purpose that works for you and it works for the students. If that is not the case, then don't have them in your course. Okay, so let's talk about some of the issues that come up. The good things about having discussion boards are, first of all, it's a little bit lighter work on the front end because all you have to do to create the assignment when you're developing the course is just come up with a good discussion question. Not that easy, but still, you stick it up there, you're done. There's nothing else really to do until the students start posting. It does have a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of room to wiggle in discussion boards, but they are challenging to keep up with and grade, especially when people have large classes. They are overused, in my opinion. Again, particularly for people who are going through online programs in a cohort model, where they might be taking 3, 4, sometimes even 5 online classes. And if each online class has a weekly discussion board, that's a lot of discussing. That is a lot of 2 follow-up posts that these students are doing with each other every single week. It's hard to create good topics for discussion, and it's hard to be clear about your expectations. So let's go through some of the main issues. First of all, let's talk about why are we going to use discussions? What are some good reasons that you might choose to put a discussion board in your class? Well, for one thing, it's a great way to make learning visible or public. So if, for example, you want to have a post, a discussion board where other students can see what each other are doing, it's a great thing to do. You don't have to have them discuss just because it's called a discussion board. You can just use it as a way for them to be able to see each other's work. Another example of that is the Q&A forum, where it's great if somebody asks a question that everyone can see the answer. You don't have to answer it 75 billion times. Okay? So those are some reasons that you might want to use it. Notice that you don't have to use the traditional graded 2 responses format in order to do that. You could use them to set up student-to-student teaching and learning. So this is where you might have the students do peer reviews, or you might have them be building on the work that somebody else did or responding to the work that somebody else did in a very clear way. These can be graded. These cannot be graded. So an example is that I sometimes will have an optional discussion forum that goes with harder assignments where the students can talk about their answers. I'll say, feel free to collaborate. Ask somebody else if this is what they also got on question number 4. It's not graded. It's just for them to use to help each other complete the assignment. Okay, that's an example. Another example of this would be these traditional posts where you say, do this, and then respond to 2 people. Okay, I want to take a tangent here. If you do that, first of all, I want you to think about how potentially stifling it is to be told to respond to 2 people. I am a student in a doctoral program that is largely online, and I will have to say that there are a few things I like less in an online course than being told to respond to X number of people. It feels like going into a party or something and being told, you need to talk to 5 people. Maybe I'm here for the food. Maybe I'm just here to listen. Maybe I'm only here to talk to 1 person and I want to spend the whole time talking to them. Okay, so it feels like I'm just going to go and do the minimum and get out. Right. So think about if you're asking students to reply to X number of people, why? Why are you doing that? Is there a good reason? Is there an obvious way for the students to reply? So if it's just like read what they wrote and reply to it substantially, what is that supposed to look like? I recommend if you do want to do this, that you give them something very specific to reply about. So for example, I have a class where I give them a discussion board post that says, and they're supposed to create a bone-supporting meal and talk about why some of the nutrients in that meal might physiologically support healthy bone. And in the follow-up response, I say, take someone else's meal And think of a situation where somebody might not be able to eat that. Maybe they are vegan or allergic to lactose, or they are lactose intolerant. Come up with a modified version of the meal and talk about that. So I'm giving them a task, and then it's very easy. They know exactly what they're supposed to do, and they can do it. It's not meant to be a back and forth discussion, but it is giving them something to hang their hat on when they go to reply. Make it obvious how the students can successfully fulfill this requirement. Now, also realize that if you do this, if you say you have to reply to two people, then you have to read them. You have to not just look at the original post, but you also have to go through the two additional posts and give them feedback on that as well. So instead of one thing, you're tripling it. You've got three things for each student that you now need to deal with. Is that the best use of your time? And is it the best use of the student's time? Remember that each student has a set amount of time, presumably, to work on their online course each week. So think about how long the online discussion boards are taking and if that's how you want them to be using their time in this class. Is it the most valuable way for them to learn the material? If it's not, get rid of them. Don't have those in there. You can also have them infrequently. My class is now a 15 or 14 week class would have a maximum of 4 of these types of discussion boards where there's an assignment that they're posting, and maybe they're required to do a follow-up post and maybe they're not. A lot of times, even when they're not required to do a follow-up post, they still will talk back and forth because they're interested. And if they're not interested, that's fine. Don't be interested. Use your interest and study something else that's related to the class. You know, I don't want to force you to be interested in this particular thing. Okay. Another reason that people give for using discussion boards online is community building. In my opinion, I don't think this is a good idea for requiring a discussion board. You can't require people to build a community. That is not how it works. Okay. If you're requiring them to be part of a community and show you that they're being community minded, I think you've kind of missed the point of community. Okay. So if you want to build a community, there's lots of ways to do it. You can have live sessions and make them interactive and chat. You can use Flipgrid. I'm going to do a blog post about that really in the very near future. You can do all sorts of things, but don't make them join a discussion board in order to be community minded. All right. It doesn't necessarily have to happen in discussion. All right, so let's talk about some of the key questions or challenges that come up when you're creating a discussion board. Number one, topic creation. If you do want to use a discussion board as a way for the students to show you that they're learning the content, you need to think carefully about the setup and the question that you're asking them. First of all, like I said, you can just make it an assignment that they're posting publicly so they can see each other's work. That's fine. That's beneficial. They will often read through each other's work and learn from it. No problem. However, if you are going to make it an actual discussion where they need to respond and they're supposed to be discussing back and forth, first ask yourself, is this question something that is going to require discussion? Is there anything to discuss naturally about this? If you were to talk about it with a friend, would there be some natural back and forth? Or would it be like, oh, I've just delivered you some information and the other person is like, oh, that's interesting. There's not really a discussion there. For discussion, you want there to be some debate, some controversy, something where there could legitimately be two different opinions or sides, as opposed to just, you know, magnesium is good for the bones because of this. What are you going to discuss? The only thing you can discuss is like, well, so is calcium also, because I have to say something, you know, like there should be something they can discuss. The other thing is, can the student bring themselves into the discussion? Is there a way where you can be like, what would you do if? How would this show up? How has this shown up in your life? Think of a person that you know that has this and tell us about that and what, you know, how this relates to them. Let them bring it into their life, because if otherwise, you're going to get every single trimester basically the same answers about magnesium and calcium. It's going to be boring for everybody. They're going to learn more if they can bring themselves and they can bring their life into the discussion board. And you're going to be more excited because it's going to be different all the time. Okay. Again, think to yourself, is it necessary for them to follow up? Is that worth the time? Is that what you want them to be doing? The other question is grading. Should it be graded? Can you just grade it for completion? Can you, instead of grading the actual discussion boards, can you then have them reflect on how they did in the discussion and grade that? These are all options. Quality Matters, at least the last time I looked, they actually recommend not grading online discussion boards directly because they say it's too time consuming. It distorts the nature of discussion. People are posting just to get points, and they're posting for the instructor, not for each other, which is true if you're grading them rigorously. And that some students legitimately learn just by reading, just by being there and being engaged. So can you create a scenario where somebody could show you what they learned just by reading the discussion forum and not posting in it? That's possible. You can do it. The other thing is think to yourself, how long am I spending grading the discussion posts? And there's only so much of you to go around. Is that how you want to be giving your time to the students? Is there more meaningful, are there more meaningful ways you can give them feedback? I think there probably are in most cases. So the other thing that I have seen, and it's really no fun, is when students post these big, long discussion board posts, the faculty is never there and they never get any feedback aside from a grade and maybe a couple checks on a rubric. The faculty is totally missing from the discussion. They're posting for the faculty because that's who's grading them, but the faculty isn't there. And so it just feels kind of bleh, like you're having a discussion with somebody who's not actually listening to you in the moment. Okay, so think about that as well. Another faculty member where I work also does a spot grading discussion approach. So if you have a larger class, this is something to think about where you will be graded, you know, two times on your discussion boards throughout the trimester and you don't know which two. And that way the faculty member is only really grading a small portion of the discussions every week, even though the students are kind of putting in the effort throughout. So that's one option. We also want to think about what your role is going to be in the discussion, which I alluded to just earlier. You need to let the students know up front whether you will or will not be in the discussion, how you're going to be reading them, grading them, if that's what you're going to be doing, and so forth. So I recommend showing your face in the discussion board unless you have told the students, this is for you all, here's how I'm going to be involved, I'm reading all of them. You need to let them know somehow that you've read them. If you have a large class, one thing you can do is do a weekly video where you just summarize some key points, use their names, and let them know that you've actually read them instead of being like, well, some of you said this, that, that, that. That video could be used every trimester. You want to be like, Karen said this in the discussion. Here's what I want you to know about it. I saw there's some interesting dialogue going on about X, Y, and Z. Let's talk about that. Here's another resource. Show them somehow, if you're not posting in the discussion all the time, at least show them that you've read them publicly, not one-on-one, but publicly, so that you can be part of the class. All right. The other thing to think about is from the student perspective, if you have a large class, I have some classes that are 35 and 40, actually all of them are 35 and 40. If I'm doing a discussion board, I very, very rarely will have a discussion where all of the people are supposed to be posting in the same place. Have you ever read a discussion forum where there's 40 people and they've all been required to do one or two responses? It's unmanageable. There will be sometimes hundreds of responses. You cannot read through that whole thing as a student and get anything meaningful from it. Well, very little meaningful from it. It's too overwhelming. You're just going to go through, pick one or two threads, respond to them, and be done. So if you want to have discussions like this in a big class, I recommend going to smaller groups. Or give them choices. Say, hey, you can pick five discussions to do over the course of this trimester, and that way not everybody is going to be in every discussion board. Okay, so I aim for about 10 to 12 people in any given discussion board. I find that's a reasonable number. It's still actually a little bit long if they all post, depending on what the prompt is, but I find that's a reasonable number from a student perspective. It doesn't feel too overwhelming, and they can also get to know the people in their little group a little better if you keep the groups consistent throughout the course. It's still a lot for you as an instructor, but at least from the student perspective, it's a little more manageable, and they feel like they can get more out of a smaller portion. Okay, so those are my tips on discussion boards. I would love to hear your feedback and your thoughts on them. I'll just leave you again with the thought that you don't have to have discussion boards in your online course that are graded and that are required, where the students are required to do two follow-up posts. So think about it. Have a great week. Take care.